and see what Srila Prabhupada has to say about this bhajan. This is a song by Lochan Das Thakur. Pahu means Lord, and Duijan means two. Lochan Das Thakur declares that the two lords, Nittai Gaura Chandra, Lord Nittai and Lord Chaitanya, are very merciful, Parama Karuna. Sabha Avatar Sarasiromani. Avatar means incarnation, and Sabha means all. They are the essence of all incarnations. The specific significance of these incarnations is that prosecuting their way of self-realization is simply joyful, Kevala Ananda Kanda, for they introduce chanting and dancing. There are many incarnations like Lord Ram and even Krishna, who taught Bhagavad Gita, which requires knowledge and understanding. But Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda introduced a process that is simply joyful, simply chant and dance. Therefore, Lochan Das requests everyone, Bhajo Bhajo Bhai Chaitanya Nittai. My dear brother, I request that you just worship Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda with firm conviction and faith. Don't think that this chanting and dancing will not lead to the desired goal. It will. It is the assurance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that one will get all perfection by this process. Therefore, one must chant with firm faith and conviction, Bishwasa Kori. But what is the process? The process is Vishayacharya, Seira Se Majiya. If one wants to be Krishna conscious by this process, one has to give up his engagement in sense gratification. That is the only restriction. If one gives up sense gratification, it is sure that he will reach the desired goal. Mukhe bolo hari hari. One simply has to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, without any motive of sense gratification. Deko ore bhai tribhuvane nai. Lochan Das Thakur says, my dear brother, you just try and examine this. Within the three worlds, there is no one like Lord Chaitanya or Lord Nityananda, because their merciful qualities are so great that they make even birds and beasts cry, what to speak of human beings. Actually, when Lord Chaitanya passed through the forest known as Jarikanda, the tigers, elephants, snakes, deer, and all other animals joined him in chanting Hare Krishna. It is so nice that anyone can join. Even the animals can join, what to speak of human beings. Of course, it is not possible for ordinary men to induce animals to chant. But if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could inspire animals to chant, at least we can encourage human beings to adopt this path of Hare Krishna mantra chanting. It is so nice that even the most stone-hearted man will be melted. Pashana means stone. It is so nice that even stone will melt. But Lochan Das Thakur regrets that he is entrapped by sense gratification. He addresses himself, my dear mind, you are entrapped in the sense gratification process, and you have no attraction for chanting Hare Krishna. Since you have no attraction for the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, what can I say? I can simply think of my misfortune. Yamaraj, the superintendent of death, is punishing me by not allowing me to be attracted by this movement. End of commentary. We can just summarize a little bit of what Srila Prabhupada is saying here about this song. Om Gyan Timurandasya Gyananjana Sarakaya Chakshom Militam Yanatasma Shri Garave Namaha Ukam Karoti Vachalam Bhangam Langaya Te Garim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Ganam Dinataranam Nama Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Vacharani Nivishesha Sanyavari Vastachya Desa Tarani Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasri Gaura Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Actually, while reading this commentary, something came to mind. I was just flying just 2 days ago, I guess it was. 2-3 days ago. Can't remember what day it was. But I was sitting next to, across the aisle from one young Indian. I'd say maybe in his late 20s, early 30s, businessman from Chicago. And he was asking me a lot of questions, trying to understand what was my mission, and what mission was I participating in. He was very, very curious. His name was Vijay. And he was asking a series of questions along this vein of thought. And then what it finally came down to, what his reservation was, he wanted to find out what was the essence of our religion. Was it a religion based on fear, or was it a religion based upon based upon love, although he didn't come out and directly use the word love. But he knew that there had to be another motivation behind religion other than fear. And I could see that he had been exposed to so many fear-oriented religions, or maybe even in his own heritage, he had been exposed to it, maybe possibly by family. I didn't go deeply. That was a short flight. It was only a 1-hour flight. And I didn't was able to go too deeply into his background, because he was just filled with questions and I was trying to give answers. But the essence, really, what really came down to, the upshot of our conversation was, he wanted to know, what is ISKCON, what is its basis for inducing others to chant Hare Krishna? Because he was very much against provoking fear in the heart of someone as a means to try to elicit them, or to try to attract them to practice Krishna consciousness. So, although he didn't come right out and ask that question, somehow I got onto the topic of the way that I presented Krishna consciousness to others, because he asked me, we were talking about the former Soviet Union, and I was explaining to him how I saw how so many people came forward to embrace the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a very positive way, and how another thing that he was concerned about was poverty. He was trying to figure out what Krishna consciousness movement is doing for relieving poverty in the world. But I was telling him about the poverty that I had been exposed to in the former Soviet countries, and how that I saw that people were embracing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message not as a means for becoming freed from poverty, but because they had found something higher than communism, and it was attractive. And then I began to explain. He asked me, well, how did you introduce this to the people? And I explained to him how I introduced it, that the method of introduction was the same as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu introduced. The method was simply to give without establishing any conditions in the giving of love of Godhead, and or establishing any demands upon anyone, except simply to take that which the Lord Himself came to give. And Prabhupada explains that in one other commentary. He says that Lord Krishna, when He came, He established a condition. He said, Sarva Dhamma Puritsa Jamamikam Sharanam Braja. He said, first you surrender to me, then I will deliver you from all sinful reactions. He says, but when Lord Chaitanya came, Lord Chaitanya took away that condition. He completely removed it and said, here is the method of self-realization for this age of Kali Yuga. This method is Kevala Ananda Kanda. It is a joyful method, and it is everlasting, it's joyfully performed, and simply take it. That is all. When I was talking to Vijay, I was saying, using that analogy Prabhupada would use, that if a child is attracted to playing with knives, then you don't try to take the knife away from the child because the child will resist and cause further damage to the child. But if you hand the child a nice colorful toy, then the child will drop the knife and reach out for the toy because it's more attractive. And Prabhupada used this example in our method of distributing Krishna consciousness, that we're distributing Krishna consciousness because Krishna is all attractive and can attract everyone. And Krishna is present in his name, and anyone who associates with his name, Kali, Kaliya Nama Rupa Krishna Avatar Nama Hoite Hoisava Jagadisara. In the age of Kali, Krishna has incarnated in the form of his holy name. Anyone who associates with his holy name is as good as associating with Krishna directly, and certainly he will become delivered. I was explaining all of these things to my friend Vijay, and he slapped his hands in enthusiasm, saying, when he realized that Krishna consciousness new movement is not based on a doctrine of fear, but is based instead on a method of distribution which attracts our hearts. And then what happens is that one, upon having his heart attracted by either coming in contact with the holy name, coming in contact with a devotee of the Lord who's distributing the holy name, coming in contact with Krishna in many of the ways which he's manifested himself for us to come in contact with him, it elicits from within our heart a voluntary spirit of reciprocation, which is joyful and which is voluntary. Prabhupada oftentimes, he even used that example. He said that it is the responsibility of the leadership of the society to awaken the voluntary spirit of sacrifice which is there within the heart of everyone, and to create new and ever fresh means or opportunities for surrender and advancement in Krishna consciousness. He said the voluntary spirit should never be killed. One should not feel suppressed, oppressed, or forced. You know, I remember, of course, in the early days, I remember we used to say things to people that, you know, if you don't surrender to Krishna, you know, you're going to, who knows, you could walk out of this temple and get struck by a car, hit by a car, and then it's all over. And in fact, I remember, I said this once to one person, I can't remember what it was, his disciple of Prabhupada, his name was Amritamsa. I can't remember his name. But anyways, he came to the temple and I said that to him. And he took it very seriously. He said, the reason why he moved into the temple is because after he left the temple, every time he came to an intersection, he would stop and wait for a long time before he would cross the street. Maybe in that one particular instance, my example was effective. But I remember there was a lot of fear sometimes that was induced, we would attempt to induce fear that, oh, you'll have to take an animal birth, or you'll have to go, like, you'll go to hell, like the Christians who stand at Arathiyatra with big signs. In Los Angeles, they have these big signs, turn or burn. So maybe in our enthusiasm, or sometimes I oftentimes look back upon it, it was in our own lack of self-conviction. We had to sometimes use these kinds of methods because we ourselves were not yet fully convinced. So this is the only method that we could keep ourselves convinced, is by keeping fear in our own hearts that if I come in contact with material, then we have this great fear that, you know, I'll fall down or I'll be attracted by Maya. But actually, Prabhupada said it's good to have a healthy fear of Maya, but it's not the foundation of religion. And Prabhupada would always say that any religious, you know, the institution that teaches its followers to love God is a bona fide system of religion. And Prabhupada himself showed, I've been watching the Prabhupada memories lately. I've had a little extra time to sit down and watch these videos and hearing some of the senior disciples of Srila Prabhupada who associated with him in the early days tell their stories of how Prabhupada attracted them to Krishna consciousness. And it was always, you know, all these stories, they're filled with so much affection and attraction and sometimes tears of joy, of remembrance of how Prabhupada induced us to take to Krishna consciousness. As a matter of fact, I put one little quote in my little book here, just to give an example. It's an interesting quote. This was from Prabhupada's diary, dated Thursday, the 3rd of February, 1966, in New York, in Prabhupada's diary. The way I got this quote first, I have to go back. I can't remember what year it was, but I regularly go to the Bhaktivedanta archives in North Carolina, and one day, the archives director, he's a director of one section of the archives. His name is Ranjit Das. He called me over into his office. He said, "Maharaj, come here, I got something to show you." And he went into this metal filing cabinet and he pulled out, he said, this red book. And he said, "Maharaj, do you know what this is?" He said, "This is Prabhupada's diary that he had in 1965 and 1966. He said, "Just look at it. Prabhupada actually in his own handwriting. I think it's been published since then as by the BBT. But it hadn't been published. Bali Mardan, one of Prabhupada's servants, had it in his possession and never told anybody he had it up until that particular point. And he didn't want to give it up, but at some point he realized this is a treasure, a golden treasure that should be shared with the world. And he decided he would go to the archives and say, I have this diary of Srila Prabhupada, and I think it should be seen by others. I shouldn't be creeping, I shouldn't be miserly and simply keep it for myself." So he gave the diary to Ranjit, and Ranjit had just recently acquired it. And he handed me the diary. He said, "Here, do you want to look at it?" I said, "Do I want to look at it?" What kind of question is that? I immediately said, what took it into the other room. I said, "Can I take it in the other room and sit down and start reading from it?" So I sat down and I started flipping through the pages. And I noted this quote. I took note of it. I felt so much. I mean, the Prabhupada's compassion. Prabhupada wrote on 3rd of February 1966, he said, "Today there was a very nice demonstration of tape record Sankirtan by me. It is all grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Haridas Thakur said that the transcendental sound of Harinam would even purify the heart of birds and beasts. Today this statement of Thakur Haridas is corroborated. These Americans cannot understand even a word's meaning of the Sankirtan, and yet they were so much attracted. It is all Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's power. There is no credit for me." Prabhupada, I saw that in the journal, and I wrote it down. I wrote down a piece of paper. In fact, I kept it in my black wallet. That little pouch, I kept it there for years. That quote. And because it's so much, Prabhupada said in a commentary that we just read before, he said, "Lord Chaitanya was so merciful that he could make animals chant and dance." He said, "Of course, it is not possible for ordinary men to induce animals to chant. But if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could inspire animals to chant, at least we can encourage human beings to adopt the path of Hare Krishna mantra chanting." Well, what Prabhupada was actually writing in his journal is actually he was realizing that he was in the association of Dvipada Pashu, is a word that Srila Prabhupada used quite often, which is the two-legged animals. And he was saying that today it has been corroborated that, you know, the Haridas Thakur has said that even this Hare Krishna mantra can purify the hearts of birds and beasts. Today the statement of Thakur Haridas is corroborated. I think Prabhupada had done a recording session on that particular date.
I can't. It might have been the Happening album. I can't remember what it was exactly. He had done a recording, and Prabhupada was and he came back, and obviously he wrote this in his diary. His realization of how potent this Hare Krishna mantra actually is, because it can transform the hearts of those who are addicted to sense enjoyment. And we understand that Prabhupada's method of distribution was to attract us to Krishna. And Prabhupada would oftentimes even quote that verse, Yena Tena Pakarena Mana Krishna Nirveshayat. He says it is the duty of the spiritual master to somehow or other induce the disciple to become attracted to Krishna, and that all the rules and prohibitions will come later. They come afterwards. Just like in the early days, when we read in the Prabhupada Lilamrita, when all the young hippies would come, and I think it was in San Francisco, they were coming to the temple, and by the way, before I forget, I was checking YouTube. It was last year when the Kazakhstan crisis was going on, and Govinda Maharaj asked me to please publish the demolition of our buildings on YouTube so that people could see what's happening in Kazakhstan, the type of religious persecution that's taking place there. So I happened to be on YouTube at the time, and I typed in Hare Krishna something, and I got this video that I've never seen before. It looked like 1967 of the devotees chanting Hare Krishna in the storefront in San Francisco, and somebody placed it on YouTube. And if you type in Krishna 1967, you'll find it. And you'll see what I'm talking about. It was all these hippies that were just banging on pots and pans, and literally a Jayananda had a pot and he had a spoon and he was banging on a pot, and the Haight-Ashbury days. And this is what Prabhupada somehow or other induced the devotees to chanting Hare Krishna. He gave us a method that was joyful, blissful. And Prabhupada, as we said, he would oftentimes quote the verse that it is the duty of the spiritual master to somehow or other attract the mind of the disciple to Krishna, and rules and prohibitions will come later. It was in San Francisco that all the hippies would come in to the storefront. They would sit with the Swami, sit in a lecture, and then they would go out for a cigarette, or go down to the corner to the ice cream parlor and have a cup of coffee and some ice cream, and then they come back, and they were doing all these things, and Prabhupada was not in any way telling them don't stop these things. He would just let them come and chant, and they would just come and chant with the Swami. And Prabhupada would give a very simple presentation of Krishna consciousness, his usual 1966 lectures, which were simple but so, I don't know how to describe them. When I go back and I listen to those 1966 lectures, especially the ones, the Second Avenue, probably was just talking about Mother Yasoda, Krishna, Radharani, the gopis. He's reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, and he was just somehow or other, you could see that he was following exactly that verse of Srila Rupa Goswami. It's somehow or other to attract their minds to Krishna, the rules and regulations, they'll come later. And that's exactly what Prabhupada did. And then, where was it that Prabhupada put the was it New York or was it San Francisco? I can't remember. I think it was San Francisco. They had been coming for quite some time. And then one day Prabhupada just wrote down the four regulative principles. Yeah, something like that. And Prabhupada wrote it down on a piece of paper and posted it. And everybody went and looked at the piece of paper and said, wow. But Prabhupada waited. He waited because he knew that he had to attract them first. He had to attract them, because if he would have introduced it first, then who would have wanted to take part in, you know, something that which the hippies of the 60s were so much engulfed in, immersed in these, all of these things. So Prabhupada did not introduce the rules first, but instead he just simply attracted. So the result of doing that is, as we can see, the potency of just taking that which is most attractive. That's what Lord Chaitanya came to give. Prabhupada's talking about here in this song, Paramakuruna Pahu Duijana Nita Gora Chandra. The Lord Chaitanya came to give a joyful process of self-realization in this age of Kali Yuga. It's a joyful process. If anyone takes to this process, and just with humility, he says, there is a condition, and it may sound like it's a pretty big condition. He said, what is the process? The process is Vishayacharya Seerase Majiya. If one wants to be Krishna conscious by this process, one has to give up his engagement in sense gratification. That is the only restriction. But he qualifies this. He qualifies. We should understand it, what Prabhupada is doing. He qualifies this in the next statement, the next two statements. So if one gives up sense gratification, it is sure that he will reach the desired goal. Mukhi bolo hari hari. One simply has to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, without any motive of sense gratification. Or as quoted exactly from the song, one simply has to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, without any motive. So what he's actually saying is, no, if we try to give up sense gratification, it's not going to be possible just to give it up. But he defines giving up sense gratification as chanting Hare Krishna without any other motive. If one does that, he's giving up sense gratification. He's chanting Hare Krishna with a desire to please the Lord. I was going to chant another bhajan tonight, but we may not get to it because I'm enlivened by this commentary right now. But Srila Prabhupada wrote in another commentary, he talks about this chanting. He says chanting and dancing. It's about the six Goswamis. I'll read a little bit. He says, this is a commentary he gave to the first verse of Sad Goswamastukam. It's a little long. It's two paragraphs, but it's connected to the point that I'm making. It's Prabhupada. I mean, this is Prabhupada. This commentary. It's just so much Prabhupada. They were practicing to teach us. Apani Achari Prabhu Jivera Shikaya. He's talking about the Goswamis. Simply teaching will not do unless we practice. That is a very important thing. Practice. Practical life. Simply quoting verses like Parrot will not be very much beneficial. One must apply Jnanam Vijnana Sahitam. Jnana means to know the thing, and Vijnana means to apply the things in practical life. Jnana Vijnana Sahitam. So we must know the Vijnana, how practically. That is taught by the Goswamis. Krishnot Kirtana Gana Natana. Always chanting the glories of Krishna. Kirtana Gana Natana. Natana means dancing. Dancing is very good. The more you dance, the more you become light. Means the burden of material contamination becomes reduced. Dancing is so nice. Even if you don't feel ecstasy, if you dance by force, that will also help us. Krishnaut kirtana gana natana paro primambitam bondidhi. By dancing, we shall develop our dormant Krishna consciousness. Love for Krishna. This is a nice process. Krishnaut kirtana gana natana paro primambitam bondidhi. Then you will merge into the ocean of love for Krishna. So this is the highest stage of ecstasy for Krishna consciousness. Always chanting Krishna's name, dancing in ecstasy, and to be merged in the ocean of love for Krishna. These are the perfection. Dira dira jana priyo. In this way we shall become friendly to every people. Dira dira. There are two classes of men. Dira, sober, and the other class, rogue. So both of them will be pleased by Krishna's kirtan. You have practical experience. When there is Krishna kirtan, people, all classes of people, become very much pleased and they join. As soon as your kirtan will be pure sankirtan, not artificial, not professional, there are many professional dancers that will not attract. But even if you do not know the art of dancing, if you simply dance in ecstasy for Krishna's love, that will be appreciated by everyone. That will be appreciated by everyone. He says it twice. Krishna kirtana gananatana paro. This is the art. One does not require to become a Vedantist. Simply if one chants Krishna's name, holy name, and in ecstasy dances, he's more than a Vedantist. Actually, Vedanti means one who knows the ultimate knowledge, Veda. Veda means knowledge, and Anta means ultimate, Vedanta. Then what is that ultimate knowledge? Krishna. Vedaishcha sarvaya aham eva vejam. That is the ultimate knowledge. So one who has understood Krishna, listen to this sentence. So one who has understood Krishna and Krishna's love, he's dancing. Then what more Vedanta can do for him? That is first class realization of Vedanta. Krishna kirtana gananatana paro. Prabhupada is saying here, this is the essence. He said, if a person is chanting for Krishna's love, and he's dancing for Krishna's love, and he's trying to attract Krishna, what more Vedanta can do for him? He's already achieved perfection. Why? What is the necessary? Lord Chaitanya taught the same principle when he spoke to Prakashananda Saraswati. Prakashananda Saraswati said, why are you chanting and dancing like a sentimentalist in the street? You're sannyasi. You should be studying Vedanta. He said, my spiritual master, he considered me a fool. He just told me, he says, just take these names and chant these names. Simply chant these names. He said, I was not qualified to study Vedanta. He said, but I somehow, when I started chanting these names, I began to experience some attraction, and I began to dance in ecstasy, so much so that I lost consciousness of externally what was going around me. And when I went back to my spiritual master, and I said to him, he's talking about his spiritual master Ishwarpuri, because Lord Chaitanya, although he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he taught by his example, he accepted spiritual master Ishwarpuri. He said, he went back to his spiritual master, he said, what kind of mantra are you giving me? And my spiritual master said to me, this is very good. I am so happy to see. You have understood the essence, the meaning of this mantra. You have pleased me in the ultimate way. And he explained how Ishwarpuri was ultimately so pleased. Why? Because Lord Chaitanya had taken that which Ishwarpuri was giving him, and by his own example, he was demonstrating that he became ecstatic. He tasted the nectar in Krishna's name. So much so that he became oblivious to external surroundings, and he didn't even care what did other people think. Sometimes people will chant, and they'll chant and they'll absorb themselves, and chanting they're thinking, oh, other people will think I'm so absorbed, I'm so advanced. Or sometimes people will reserve themselves, and they're always thinking, well, I don't want to chant in the street. What will people think of me if they see me standing there and looking like this in the street? That they'll think. No. When a devotee chants, any opportunity he gets to chant, he chants, and Prabhupada says he dances. And he chants and dances for Krishna's love. He says, even if he does not spontaneous attraction, even if by force he dances, he says, that will be good for us. He said, dancing is very good. What does he say? Even if you don't feel ecstasy, if you dance by force, that will also help us. Yena tena prakarina mana Krishna niveshe. Essentially what he's saying is just take this chanting of Hare Krishna, apply it, chant it in the proper mood, in a humble state of mind. Chant with a purpose or with a desire to please the Lord, because the Lord is most pleased, just as Ishwar Puri became so pleased when he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing in ecstasy, and when he heard how much he had tasted the holy name, that gave him the greatest pleasure. Sometimes we think that we want to please a Vaishnava. You know, we have to, we may have to make sacrifices, personal sacrifices, but what pleases the Vaishnava in the ultimate way? Just what does it pleases Krishna in the ultimate way? Krishna is pleased in the ultimate way when a devotee chastises him. Well, Krishna is pleased in the ultimate way when the devotee thinks of himself as being equal with Krishna. Krishna is pleased in the ultimate way when a devotee doesn't think that Krishna is God, but loves Krishna because he's Krishna. So Krishna is ultimately pleased by those who are engaged in spontaneous devotional service and have spontaneous love for him. So in the same way, the spiritual master, who is Krishna's representative, what is it that pleases him? He's pleased not that you bring him money, not that you become his followers. Lord Chaitanya taught, na danam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamayi mama jamani jamanishwari bhavatad bhakti rahituki twayi. He said, I do not want wealth. I do not want to enjoy beautiful women. I do not want any number of followers. I only want your causeless devotional service in my life, birth after birth after birth. Lord Chaitanya taught in his Shikshastika prayers that what does the Vaishnava want? He simply wants to be an opportunity to be engaged in Krishna's service. And what is it that pleases him? He becomes pleased when he sees others taking up Krishna's service and becoming joyful and happy in the process. That is a pleasure. That brings pleasure to Vaishnava. Vaishnava is so happy that he sees that others are becoming happy by chanting Hare Krishna. This is what brings him pleasure. Because this is what brings Krishna pleasure. Vaishnava is no different. He wants simply to bring Krishna pleasure. He doesn't even think of his own pleasure, his own happiness. He only thinks about what is it that's going to bring Krishna pleasure. And he knows that Krishna will be pleased when he sees others chanting and dancing and tasting the nectar of Krishna's holy name. Therefore the Vaishnava, he's so merciful, he's so kind. As Srila Prabhupada did as he wrote on the Jaladutta in 1965, and he wrote it in his Makani Bhagavad Dhamma. He said, I don't know how they're going to hear this message of yours. These people are victims of Kali Yuga, and it'll be very difficult to induce them to take up your message, but you brought me here for some reason. So please, somehow or other, you make them Krishna conscious. You give them Krishna consciousness. You deliver them. I can't deliver them. But he prayed to Krishna, you deliver them. Prabhupada had that mood. He came here to give. So anyone who is a sincere follower of Srila Prabhupada, if he understands this, what happens when one comes in contact with somebody who doesn't think about themselves and only wants to give us the most valuable gift, the most valuable treasure, is that what awakens within our heart is gratitude. Gratitude. This is how gratitude takes birth in the heart of one who has received the mercy of Krishna's devotee. And with that gratitude, what does one do? One voluntarily reciprocates. He renders service. That voluntary spirit isn't killed because he's always feeling gratitude for what he's received. That is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did when he appeared 500 years ago. He came to awaken that voluntary spirit and awaken gratitude, which is the birth of real love in the heart of the jivas, the conditioned souls who are suffering under the grips of the illusion of the material energy. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda would fall at the feet of the conditioned souls, and with tears in his eyes he would cry and beg, please chant Krishna's name. And Lord Chaitanya, he traveled all throughout South India. Anyone who would simply see him in his way that he chanted and danced, they became Vaishnavas. They became empowered. And they went back into their villages, and anyone who saw them, they became Vaishnavas. Simply by seeing, such is the potency of Mahaprabhu. So this is Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan movement. He came to give Kevala Ananda Kanda, a joyful process. Why is it that we don't always experience joyfulness? Well, we have to understand, we don't always experience the joyfulness of Krishna consciousness because we're still conditioned and need to purify our hearts. That still has to take place. We still have to give up sense gratification. But Lord Chaitanya is making it easier. He's making it easier to give up sense gratification. Because first he's giving us the only means that by which we can give up sense gratification. He's giving us Krishna's holy names. There's no other way. Harinam, Harinam, Harinam eva kevalam. Kaloa nastyeva, nastyeva, nastyeva gatya anyata. In the age of Kali, chanting of the holy names of the Lord, Prabhupada says when you want to emphasize something for it's important, you have to say it three times. So here in this verse, we see Harinam, Harinam, Harinam eva kevalam. Kaloa nastyeva, nastyeva, nastyeva gatya anyata. There is no other way. There is no other way. There is no other way than the congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord in this age of Kali. So this is, I placed emphasis that this is Prabhupada. These commentaries, that they are written by Prabhupada, obviously, and but this was Prabhupada's mood. This is what we see, this unique quality of Srila Prabhupada of compassion. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur and many of his bhajans, although he speaks about very many elevated topics about Krishna consciousness and the means for purifying the heart and awakening spontaneous loving service, he always concludes his bhajans, not always, but many of his bhajans, he concludes that Jive Doya Krishna Nam Sava Dhamma Sar, the awakening of compassion for the welfare of others is the highest. It's the highest platform of religion. That awakening of compassion, wanting to see others enjoy the bliss of Krishna consciousness. That is what Lord Chaitanya came to give. And therefore, as Srila Prabhupada describes in his commentary, Lochandas Thakur of Parama Karuna Pahu Dvijana, the two merciful lords, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, are very, very merciful and kind. They came to freely distribute what no other incarnation had ever come to distribute before, pure love of Godhead. This is, and by so doing, he was able to even make the animals. What's the whole description, Chaitanya Charitamrita, how Lord Chaitanya was traveling through the forest of Jarikanda and making even the animals get up and chant and dance. The deer, and he quoted one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. And the verse he quoted while he was walking through the forest of Jarikanda, he was quoting that verse that Vrindavan is so beautiful, it's that place where even the tigers and the deer experience natural affection towards one another. And when Lord Chaitanya was quoting that verse and he was chanting Hari Bol, Hari Bol, and throughout the forest of Jarikanda, and then all of a sudden, the tigers and the deers, they stood up and began chanting and they began embracing, and as it says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, they were kissing one another. Such is the power of the holy name of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya splashed water on the elephants, or he kicked the tiger, I think, didn't he? Kicked the tiger, it was along the path, and he kicked the tiger and said, get up and chant. And the tiger immediately got up and stood up and chanted and started Hare Krishna, started chanting the holy name of the Lord. So Lord Chaitanya, of course, has this potency that he can induce the animals to chant, but as Srila Prabhupada confirmed in his little commentary from his quote from his journal, he also had the same potency, but they were different animals. Although they were not tigers and lions and deer, they were Dvipada Pashu, the two-legged animals, the hippies of Haight-Ashbury, who are sitting on Hippie Hill and somehow or other were attracted to Swamiji. And Prabhupada attracted them to the holy name of the Lord and gave them the opportunity to come in contact with Lord Chaitanya and the sublime process of Harinam. So, anyways, we could chant one other bhajan.